doctor's book, When All Plans Fail. You get to $15 or more to Save America Ministries. The other books, get on our website. Become a partner with us. Don't forget, become a partner with us. God bless and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster. And we're going to be talking about what's really going on in the world of finance today and, of course, what the future holds as best as we can anticipate. Also want to mention, however, that one of our mutual friends died, one of the great champions of this battle for freedom, Alan Stang, and I can remember Alan going back 45, 47 years, as long as I can remember. He's always been out there in the front line doing radio programs, trying to let people understand that there's an organized, orchestrated effort to take away our freedom, to move us into a fascist society exactly as they have in Russia, because there's no communism in Russia. Russia is a fascist society with a ruling elite and everybody else enslaved, and they talk about communism, but communism is where the state withers away, and of course, they say one thing, they do another, just like a politician who was recently elected to a key position here in America, and he talks about how he wants to preserve our privacy, and he's going to preserve our privacy by putting our medical records on the Internet, and how could you say one thing and do another? Why, that's how you get the support of the people. Hi, Bob Chapman. How are you doing tonight?
Well, pretty good.
All right. Do you want to say anything about Alan before Alan Stang and his passing away here? Was it yesterday or so before we get into the subject at hand?
Well, I knew Alan, and for a long time, like you did. I guess in the early 60s, we all came together, Anthony Hilder and G. Edward Griffith and Gary Allen and you and I and a handful of others. And we started doing what we believed in, and we still do. And Alan, as you say, did a lot of radio programs. I was on the radio with Alan for a long time when he was in Glendale, and we fought the fight together like you did, and Alan was very, very harshly treated by the United States government, as many others in his position. He went toe-to-toe with them, and he had no chance. I use evasive tactics, and they work by that. But anyway, Alan was a wonderful guy. He was very fair and honest, and he accomplished a great deal in his life. His books are wonderful. The first one is it's very simple, and about the civil rights movement. It was really a benchmark, and we're all going to miss him. And I don't, know what more to say when you lose somebody who's done as much as he has, and you've known him for so many years. But we'll just have to work twice as hard in his place.
Amen to that. Well, of course, there'll be a memorial on Wednesday. It's going to be over the radio, another network, but we'll be appearing there, and I'm sure you will as well. Well, let's talk about what's happening here financially, because, of course, this is a planned financial collapse. This did not happen by itself. This has been carefully orchestrated by the very people who run the country from behind the scenes. I call them the Brotherhood of Darkness. Doesn't matter what you call them. A small group of people who have an intense hatred for America, who want to bring about a one-world government, destroy our sovereignty, destroy our freedom. Well, Bob, you picked the story up there. What is really happening in overtelling that, oh, my goodness, looks like we're over the worst of it? I was just reading an article in the Wall Street Journal that said the Fed, you know, really has been able to cut back tremendously on lending. It's not having to lend anywhere near as much as money as it did or provide as many funds as it did. It seems like we're over the worst of this whole financial crisis. Are they telling the truth, or is this sort of the eye in the center of the storm?
Have they ever told the truth? And no, the answer to that rhetorically is no. And the green shoots you see is really poison ivy. And they're another concoction dreamt up on Madison Avenue to mislead the American people, particularly those who invest in the market. And the lemmings have been flowing into the market, and they will get their heads handed to them again, because some really bad, difficult stuff is coming up, and it's certainly not going to get better. They're talking about a recovery when unemployment continues to climb, and the recovery is something that you just can't do with rising unemployment. It is just absolutely impossible. If for no other reason, people got to buy things in order to make it happen. Retail sales in the last year are down 9%. And, of course, unemployment's 20.5% on a U6 basis without the birth-death ratio. And so we're steaming ahead to harder times. I think that the stimulus that has been put into the system did not do the job intended again. And I think that it's going to be extraordinarily difficult for them to be able to make things work the way they'd like to. The people who received the stimulus thus far, 92% of them, they spent the money on reducing debt, and that is not what the people wanted them to do in Washington. And so they have to wait until next year for the greater part of the stimulus package to take effect.
Hold that. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bob is just saying that, of course, they keep telling us things are getting better, and yet more and more people are losing their jobs. He estimates that the U6, now that's not the U2 unemployment rate, but the U6 is about 20.5%. And if you carry that over to human, how many people are really out of work? I mean, are you worried about a percent, or are you worried about what's the numbers? The numbers are almost 15 million people unemployed, and another 6 million people are underemployed or certainly have given up looking for work. You're talking about 20 million people or more out of work. Certainly 2.25 million people lost their jobs last year. So far, 1.8 million have lost their jobs. Another 2.5 million homes, pardon me, I've lost their homes. There were certainly 2.25 million people lost their homes last year. 1.8 million people lost their homes so far this year. Another 2.5 million homes are facing foreclosure at the present time or in the process, and about 250,000 homes come up for foreclosure every single month, and the Obama administration is doing everything they can to keep people in their homes. I don't understand, Bob, if they're really trying to keep people in their homes, why are so many people losing their homes today?
Well, because the job that they're doing on keeping them in the homes is not working. There's not enough money being spent, and many, many of the people who are losing their homes are people who should have never had homes in the first place. And the FHA is giving loans, which is the American government, which is the American people. They're giving loans to people, again, that are subprime. In 6 months to a year and a half or 2 years, what will happen is that we're going to have a subprime crisis again. And to go along with the Alta crisis and the option arm pick-and-pay loan crisis, and then the crisis of those who have good jobs, good credit, who are losing their jobs and can't make their payments. So I believe that the situation might get ever so slightly better during the second half of the year and probably run flat GDP-wise, which would be about a 5% increase in GDP going into the fall of next year. But I don't think that's good enough, and I wrote about that in January, and I know the Democrats are going to try to put in a second Obama stimulus package, and that's not going to work, but they're going to get it. And I think this year it's $2 trillion. And when will it be passed? Can't say. When will it take effect? Probably May or June of next year, so that it will help the Democratic incumbents who are coming up for re-election, especially in the House. So that's the way I see things going. I had projected usage of $14.8 trillion that's going to be spent by the Fed or by the United States government to mostly keep the financial community from going bankrupt. And a new figure came out today on evidence that was presented to the House Financial Committee, and it said it, the figure was $23.7 trillion. Astronomical figures by any stretch of the imagination. And so we're onto the road to perdition is all I can tell you. There's no way back. And it will continue to get worse. And there's no solution. And dragging it out the way that the Fed and the administration of Wall Street is doing is not a very good idea, because it's just going to make it worse than it already is. And I noticed that the U.S. has been increasing money supply by approximately 18%. The British were at 17.7. They dropped to 14.7. And the European Central Bank has dropped from 12.8 to 3.7 over the last year and a half. So they're saying, look, we lowered interest rates. We're not going to flood our economy with money and build up a whole bunch of debt. And if the banks go under, they go under. And so they're opting, I think, for a classical solution. And that is, let the companies that are in trouble collapse. It's very simple. And that's what we should have done 2 years ago. And, you know, I had somebody write recently about people like me who believe that the system has to be purged under a classical basis. They call people like me Luddites. And, of course, all we are is truth seekers. And people who are trying to convey to the public that things are not the way the Keynesians say they are, because it's either lying by omission or it is trying to understand something that they don't understand. and really basic economics is not that difficult to understand. There's a lot of twists and turns, yes, but that's what the professionals are for. And when you believe in Keynesianism, you just want to print and create money and credit until the cows come home. And it just doesn't work. And it hasn't worked in any other civilization. And what these people who think that way do is ultimately they have another war. So the people are too worried about getting killed in a war to worry about an economy. And that's the way I think things are going to go.
Well, I think it's a tragic situation we're facing. There's a wonderful book written by Thomas Wood, I'm sure you're acquainted with it, called Meltdown, and it simply explains the basis of the Austrian theory of economics compared with the Keynesian theory of economics. And the Austrian theory says you've got to have a contraction every once in a while so that you can start growing again, sort of like we have to have a winter in between the growing season so that the gland can replenish itself. And then, of course, you can have the spring with plants come up again, but I mean, if all you had was summer, why, of course, you'd soon wear off the land. You'd certainly would not have good crops at all, and eventually you get to a point where you didn't have any crops at all, and that's sort of a weak analogy of where we're headed. But we're headed towards total financial disaster, at least in my estimation. I think Bob feels pretty much the same way. So what is really happening? We, of course, hear that Goldman Sachs made a lot of money and that J.P. Morgan made a lot of money. Their second quarter earnings were really great, and that's wonderful. That's a reflection on the fact that all of our various corporations are going to do well when those second quarter earnings report comes in. They're probably going to look really great. Is that really true?
Well, it is in their cases, but they were assisted by some $13 billion from the American taxpayer, which they loaned out at 60 to 1 ratio, or invested at a 60 to 1 ratio, by borrowing money and on that money, and made a pile of money. They also were rigging the stock market by front-running. And the whole of Wall Street realizes this now, and you're going to see volume really drop. A lot of professionals are going to be moving away from the market. I don't know what they're going to do, but when you're dealing in a game that's rigged like Vegas, you know, they know what the numbers are, and if you play long enough, you lose. And of course, people who count cards get thrown out of casinos because they're cheats, if you can believe that. And that's the same way the Wall Street of today is run, in conjunction with our government. And I know, because I spent a long time on Wall Street.
Well, the interesting thing, of course, is that they manipulate the stock market, they manipulate the commodity market, they manipulate the gold and silver market, they manipulate the energy market and the oil market, and is there laws against this manipulation, but who are you going to complain to? What, of course, the banks and the government work in concert together to deceive and to defraud the American people.
Well, there's no question that there is no justice. We have a dual justice system, one for us and one for the anointed. And very seldom do they go to jail. And so, you know, we have no way to go legally. Our Congress doesn't respond to us anymore, although I must say, with 1207, which is the investigation of the Federal Reserve, they co-sponsored to the tune of about 276 representatives in the House. So maybe there is hope. But Barney Frank and Nancy Pelosi have that legislation bottled up, and Barney says that's what he's going to do, and Nancy says, I haven't even read it yet.
We're talking about now, this is Ron Paul's legislation, 1207, that will allow an independent Oh, you know, suddenly what they've done with their money, who the Fed has given about $2 trillion to, and then what do the people from the Fed say? Oh, well, if you want to interfere with what we're doing, it could lead to a financial collapse, and they've hired a public relations concern, got 100-some-odd economists to write to the government and saying, do not allow this investigation of the Fed. Let them be independent, you know. Why, if they don't, if they're not independent, we'll have a financial collapse. We'll lose the value of our money. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a financial collapse. We have, they're destroying the value of our currency. Over, they've destroyed 95% of the value of the currency since they were formed. I mean, how much worse can it get? It can get a lot worse. If we don't expose the fact that this is a criminal undertaking, it's the same battle that Andrew Jackson fought in the 1830s, and we're completing that battle today. Go right ahead, Bob. Pick the story up there.
Well, I think the overriding factor in the markets is that people now know what the market.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances? Even things which can cause sickness or disease. If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
An increase in federal taxation, and then, or at least in federal taxation on every gallon of gas. And then, of course, there's going to be suddenly a double the cost of your electricity. They're talking about it's going to cost every family about $3,000 increase cost, and that's really a tax, for this cap and trade bill. And, of course, an awful lot of people are going to lose their jobs. You're going to lose a couple of jobs for every job you make. They've done this thing over in Spain. It was a disaster. It's going to be a disaster here. And they know it's going to be a disaster. This is how you wreck our economy. And when you understand that, it all makes sense. But all one has to do is go on the Internet and just go to your search engine and see what happened in Spain when they went to green energy and wind and solar power. And, of course, it just dramatically drove up the cost cost of electricity, laid more people off of work. And Spain is a basket case today. They probably have one of the worst economies. Spain and Ireland have the worst economies in Europe. And a large part of Spain's problem is, of course, their energy bill, almost identical to what we've got here in this country. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you're out across America, you'd like to ask Bob Chapman a question. Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster is our guest this evening. We're talking about what's happening to the economy, and I think we're sort of in the eye of the hurricane right now, but the other side of the hurricane is coming, and heaven help us when that hits. Well, Bob, certainly we hear a lot about, you know, how things are going to be better now that they've taken over control of the automotive industry, and they're closing down dealerships all across the country. I don't know why that would help the automotive industry to put a 3,500 dealers out of business. You know, they're independent businessmen. They lose money, and they go out of business. Why just pull the dealerships? What's this really all about? Do you have any idea?
Well, I think that many of the companies that the dealers that went out of business were making money. Some of them weren't. And I think it was a political thing. Anybody who was a Republican, they chopped them. And, you know, there's a whole record there that you can follow that would show you that, you know, this is what happened. And I don't know the exact, you know, timing behind it, but I do know that that it was very unusual. Of course, the bondholders really get screwed. Historically, in American bankruptcy, the bondholders get paid first, and they didn't get paid first this time. What they did was they get paid last almost. And so it was an effort to get rid of all of the losing part of General Motors in the bankruptcy, and all the good pieces were kept to be put in the new corporation. And they're going to specialize in making automobiles in China as well as Brazil. And so no American jobs are going to be gained back.
Closing down American plants. They're closing American plants. General Motors is shifting its production to China. They're already talking about importing more cars from China here into our markets. Why would we give them $50 or $60 billion to General Motors so they can shift their production to China? And they actually have a number of factories in India. They have a factory in Russia, at least one. They have a number of factories in Brazil. Why would we give them all all this money so they can start importing cars from communist China? That doesn't make any sense. Unless, of course, you're intent upon destroying the automotive industry here in the United States.
And that's what it's all about, because those profits from offshore go offshore and they don't come home.
In fact, they've got a special little deal for the corporations that if you move your production offshore, you don't have to pay any taxes here in the United States. You don't have to put up with, of course, all our rules and regulations. You don't have to get a much lower salary, no pensions, no health care. And, of course, you have the advantage that you don't have to pay any taxes. So these corporations, we're encouraging them actively to move offshore where they don't have to pay taxes. These are American corporations. But, of course, they don't pay taxes here. They get all the benefits, no taxes. But we never tell the American people what's really going on. This is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest, of course, is Bob Chapman, the International Forecaster. We've got John calling from Texas. Hi, John. Do you have a question for our guest?
Well, I was listening to a local talk show today, and I kind of came in at the end of the deal, but it sounded like this guy was saying that his car broke down and that, you know, the way he was talking, it's almost like this customer service and all the other warranty stuff would be actually, he said he couldn't talk to anybody in the United States. I don't know if it was Chrysler or GM.
Oh, well,
but he said that they weren't just manufacturing cars, that as far as warranty stuff goes, that all that's being handled, you know, overseas. Yeah.
No, I don't know anything at all about that, really, but I do know, that, of course, the government has said that they'll stand behind the warranties on the General Motors and, I assume, on the Chrysler as well, although they turned Chrysler over to an Italian company called Fiat, and Fiat didn't have to put up any money. Why didn't they put it up for bid and find out who would bid the most? Well, they didn't want to, because probably somebody, American corporation, would have bought Chrysler. Instead of that, they simply turned it over to Fiat, because the CEO of Fiat and the assistant CEO of Fiat are members of the Trilateral Commission. And if you want to check that out, you can get the membership list of the Brotherhood of Darkness, the syllabus we offer. You can't tell the players without a program, and we give you the program. They cannot let the American people understand. There's a little clique that really runs the whole thing behind the scenes. Would you like to comment on what John was saying, Bob? Do you know anything about that?
Well, what you've said is absolutely correct. And, you know, we're going to see more of the same as they consolidate industries and move them in total, not only the United States, but out of Canada and Europe as well. And the problem is they're running into problems now. And those problems are that tariff barriers are going up in China and Russia and many other countries. And they all belong to the World Trade Organization, and there'll be complaints, and I think it's going to end up in a trade war, so transnational conglomerates are going to have to come to some kind of conclusion.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment with Bob Chapman. Well, this is Dr. Stan here. Our guest this evening is Bob Chapman. And before we go on, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you have a question for Bob. But before we go on and get back to John, Bob, I'd like you to give out your website and your telephone number so people would know how they could get a copy of the International Forecaster and subscribe to it. I will tell you that I look forward to it coming twice a week, all 30 or 40 pages of it, fascinating information, help me keep abreast of what's going on. So how could people get in touch with you and get some information about what's really happening not what you're going to read in the controlled media, but, of course, the about the people who really run the finances of our country and make mockery of the electoral process. Go ahead.
Well, the international forecasters about business, finance, economics, social and political issues all over the world. We publish by Internet on Wednesdays and Saturdays, and it runs around 35 or 40 pages each time. And we have an edition, which is hard copy, which goes out twice a month for those who are not on the Internet. If you'd like to get a free copy, you can go to our site, and that address is theinternationalforecaster.com, International, forecaster.com, or you can email us, Bob, B-O-B, at I-N-T, F-O-R-E-C-A-S-T-E-R, .com. That's Bob at intforecaster.com, or you can call toll-free, 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
Okay, fine. Well, let's go back to John. John, Sydney, if you have a General Motors warranty, why, of course, that would be still serviceable. And, of course, you could go to General Motors. General Motors even has come out of bankruptcy, and I'm sure that you can get a General Motors individual thing. So I think you need to have the whole story on that before we can really comment on it. Anything else you wanted to say before we let you go?
I would say one thing, you know, that God is, these people are not going to get away with all this. And I was reading a deal from Psalms. I'm not going to read it, but the verses go from about 116 down to, or 16 down to 20 in Psalms 109. And, it's a King James Version deal. But it all boils down, you know, these people, they think they're going to get away with this stuff, and it all boils down to ultimately, you know, they're not getting away with anything.
All right, you're right. The second Psalm, of course, they tell us that God scoffs at these people who are conspiring against him, but the Psalms actually talks about a conspiracy. We're not supposed to believe in a conspiracy, but if you get out your Strong's Concordance for the King James Bible and you look up the word conspiracy, all sorts of references. So if the word's good enough for God, certainly good enough for me. Thanks, John. And let's get back to our special guest this evening. That's Bob Chapman. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And certainly, Bob, certainly as we look and see what's happening now, apparently, General Motors is coming out of bankruptcy. I'm sure that Chrysler will be out of bankruptcy, but turned over now to Fiat, and nobody ever asked why we would give Chrysler Motor Company to Fiat without any cost. Has anybody ever asked that question, Bob? Why?
No, they haven't.
The Obama administration would turn over.
The control media, and it was mentioned, and that was the end of it. And as you said, Fiat is an luminous corporation, and they're just taking advantage of the situation, getting Chrysler for virtually nothing.
And Chris, there's a wonderful article. It appeared in Rolling Stone this last month, this edition, about Goldman Sachs and really how Goldman Sachs runs the country. However, if they'd mentioned at all that all these people in Goldman Sachs, and Goldman Sachs itself is a trilateral commission, call it a luminous, call it what you will, but it's much easier to point to the Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations, Bilderberger meetings, and simply put that after the names of the people you're talking about working at Goldman Sachs. Remember, there's only 87 members of the Trilateral Commission, and yet the CEO and the vice CEO of Goldman Sachs both come from the Trilateral Commission. When you begin to understand that, you begin to understand that these people control our government. And, of course, it's not just Goldman Sachs. There's a small contingent of very, very wealthy people, and they are the government. Barack Obama is simply carrying out their directives, but we're supposed to focus our attention on Barack Obama, and as if he's the bad guy, and he is the bad guy, but he is certainly under their control, and if he were to dare, you know, do anything on his own, they'd send him on a trip to Dallas. And as we know, they certainly going back to when this battle really got started under Andrew Jackson. They tried to kill Andrew Jackson. They did kill Abraham Lincoln. Certainly McKinley and some of the others were very much against the central bank. We know what happened, of course, to John Fitzgerald Kennedy shortly after he put out an executive order that was going to allow the Treasury to begin to print silver-backed currency. There really are evil and wicked people out there, and behind that, powerful, powerful spiritual forces, which was what everybody has missed. Well, let's go to Ron calling from Arkansas. Ron, do you have a question for our guest? Ron, are you there?
Yeah, boy, I can barely hear you, though.
Okay, go right ahead.
Maybe I can listen to the answer on the air. I heard you talking, Bob, the other day about a change of money where they're going to exchange maybe 3-1 or 1-3. And I was wondering if you'd expound on that just a little bit. Does that actually mean that, say, for instance, you had $3,000 in the bank, you'd just wake up one morning and you'd suddenly have $1,000, but stuff would still cost the same? Or how's that going to work?
All right, fine. Well, good question, Ron. Do you want to take this?
Go right ahead. If you have a reverse in the value of a currency, and they give you one new one for three old ones, the value of your currency has gone down by 2/3 versus another currency. That would be perhaps the Swedish krona, or the Swiss franc, the Canadian dollar, the euro, the Japanese yen. And these are the six, actually five of the six, which are in the USDX, which is the dollar index. The one I omitted was the pound, because the pound is in as big a problem as the dollar is. But I think what's going to happen is that the dollar is going to get out and test its lows at 71.18. It's around 78.5 right now. And and when that happens, I think we're going to have a crisis. This is the second time it would have visited that area, and I think that a lot of countries would not want to accept the dollar, and that's happened before just a year and a half ago, and I think that would lead to crisis and might even lead to a bank holiday, which I think the government wants, and the reason they want it is to have a trial run on what the attitude of people will be under those circumstances, whether they'll riot or whether they'll sit home and wait for the banks to open. And so it'll be a stultifying experience, because your credit cards and debit cards and ATM cards and your checks won't be any good anywhere. And so you'll only be able to use cash until it blows over. And I think it's a trial run.
Well, now you, of course, put out a story. It's been picked up by Harry Schultz and really all across the country attributed to you, that the people working in our embassies overseas have been told, they've been sent a great deal of money and told to get the local money there, the domestic money, whether it be South American or African or Asian money. The people in the American embassies have been told to start collecting local currencies in preparation for a major event that is supposed to occur. Is it on October of this year? Do we know when it's going to occur? And is this story true? What's the verification for it? And when do you think it'll happen?
Well, it's true, and I can't tell you how I can verify it, but I've got it from a half dozen different sources. So, and these are big embassies, and in fact, two of them are in the Eurozone, and so it's real. The question is, when is it going to happen? And the dollar is the arbiter of that. We know it's broken down, broken its 200-day moving average now. And it could get down to 71.18 by September, October, and a crisis could loom at that time, which would send the stock market down, and it would send gold and silver considerably higher, although I don't think that the dollar and gold and silver are coupled with each other. I think they are now trading independent of one another, but the negativity that would be caused by foreigners refusing to accept dollars would sweep over into other markets such as gold and silver and make them go up. And if there was a one for three, then ostensibly the price of gold would triple from where it's at. So that would make it around $2,800, and that would make up for the non-performance of gold over the last many years, actually since June of 1980, and it would just be playing catch-up on an official basis. A real inflation would have gold at somewhere between $6,400 and $6,800. So we got a long way to go in gold. It's the only place to go to. There's nothing else you can put your money in safely, and it's a pretty simple story. And I've been at this for 50 years, and I've been through every bull market and bear market and all the markets for all of that period of time as a professional. And so I think we got some serious stuff going on.
But you are anticipating, perhaps, a major event, certainly September, October, something like that?
Why else would government send all that money out to the embassies?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm certainly, I'm not questioning you. I believe, of course, that there is going to be a hysteria. They're doing everything they can to the mass media to create a hysteria about the looming threat of the swine flu epidemic. That's why they've put out $1 billion already to create a vaccine for this epidemic. Because if the virus might mutate, and if the virus might mutate, if it did mutate, it could become deadly. But then of course, all this vaccine that they've made, if the virus mutates, it isn't going to do any good. So why would you make a vaccine for a virus that might mutate and become dangerous when you don't know what the mutation is going to be, and you can't make an immunity for a virus that is going to mutate, because if it mutates, the vaccine doesn't work. This whole thing is a scam, basically. As of the 6th of this month, 6th of July, we'd lost a little over 4,000 people throughout the world. We lose that many every single day from malaria, which is preventable, which they will not allow DDT to be used. We wiped out malaria in the United States, and we left it in Africa because it's a very effective means of killing people. Why are we so concerned about this swine flu? Because it's a very mild illness. In fact, it's much less virulent than the average influenza that we have. And so most of the people who have died have had other medical problems that predisposed them to death. They said the immune system wasn't working properly. So, and this is timed to occur in October, just about the time that you're talking about this other crisis coming. Do you think maybe they've got some other crises, like maybe a massive drop in the stock market at that time? What are your thoughts?
That could be it, covered by the swine flu.
And, of course, it's the old trick of the sleight of hand. You know, you watch what the sleight of hand a fellow's doing with one hand. It's the other hand, of course, where the real problem is. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Do you have a question for Bob about what's going on? Because we're not getting the truth in the media. Sydney, we are in terrible, terrible problems. This problem is not rectifying itself. What are we doing with the M1, M2, M3 at the present time? Are they still massively increasing the amount of money as we were in the past? Or have they begun to moderate to try to cut back on the amount of money, which, of course, is highly inflationary?
Well, they are still increasing them, even though sometimes they don't. The overall trend is increase. and it varies from week to week. The M3, which they don't publish, is by our estimates around 18%. And so you've got 18% increase in money on credit, you at least have to have 9 to 10% inflation. And the money that has gone into banks from the Federal Reserve is ultimately going to be very inflationary. It's sitting on either the bank balance sheets in the form of treasuries, or it's sitting on the treasuries books on behalf of these banks. Banks borrow at zero and borrow and lend it back to the treasury at 2 or 2.5% or whatever it is. And so they're making money by doing nothing. And I don't think that this kind of thing can continue indefinitely, and the outcome of something like that will be a financial problem like we saw in the 1930s.
And I think what people have to understand is that big banks are not lending, or if they are lending, they're already lending at usurious levels. I was reading where, I think it was Delta Airline, had to borrow money from one of the big banks, interest rate of 17%. You can't survive with a 17%. If you've got to borrow money at 17%, how much money do you have to make to make a profit? And this is what's happening. Everybody's dependent upon credit. We have been for a long time. The banks are able to take the fractional reserve system and multiply the dollar, $1 they have in deposit to $10, $20, $30, $40, $50, $60. They can lend that out, and you're getting 17% on that money simply on every dollar you lend out. It's one of the greatest scams of all time. Most people have no idea what's really going on behind the scenes. The small banks are afraid to lend. They can make more money putting their money in the Federal Reserve System, which for the first time in history is paying interest. Why? So there won't be the lent, so the money won't be lent out, so they can strangle our economy. They're doing a great job of it. Well, Bob, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
It's wrapping up, Bob.
Go right ahead.
I wish that we could see a real...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a 1-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-.
Have subversive elements working at the highest levels of our government whose loyalty is not to the Constitution which they have sworn to uphold, but to this internationalist dream of a one-world government, a one-world currency, a one-world financial system, a one-world religion, and a one-world ruler. And this is really what it's all about, the fulfillment of ancient prophecies. And unless you understand the spiritual component which energizes these movements, and really many of our major financial institutions, in fact, the financial institutions certainly have, going back for thousands of years, have been tied to the occult. You go back to the Knights Templar, which, of course, was the dominant force in Europe in the 1200s. And, of course, they were deeply involved in the occult. They were the first international bankers. And you read the history of what followed them in the subsequent years, what happened in Venice, what happened in Florence. Certainly the background of the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers, all deeply involved in the occult. And this is what everybody has missed. So we really are involved in a spiritual battle being laid out on a political, ideological, cultural, and financial battlefield. And our job is to be informed and then to inform others. And if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, shame on you. You need to get it. You need to read it. You need to hear our talk on the forbidden secret and get the syllabus that goes with that. Our talk on financial Armageddon, how they manipulated and created, step by step by step, the whole current financial crisis. They knew exactly what they're doing. And the problem today is the big banks are not lending. Oh, they're lending overseas. Citigroup recently announced, we think we've given about $60 billion in the TARP funds, and they're going to start making major loans overseas, but not here in the United States. And we gave all those TARP funds to the major banks, and they lent money in China and in India and to Dubai and in Spain, but not here in the United States. Why? Because that's how you bring down the system. And you read what Andrew Jackson, President Jackson, said in his farewell address in 1837. It's included in our syllabus on the financial Armageddon. And you realize we are in the final battle of the war that was waged back at that time. And, of course, what happens now will determine the future of mankind. And you must understand, behind everything going on are powerful spiritual forces. Andrew Jackson didn't recognize them, but I hope that you do. You need to get the DVD put out by Pat Wood on the Trilateral Commission. It's excellent. It's the talk he gave last October. That's on the Trilateral Commission. You need to get Constance Cumby's DVD on the emergence. What is the emergence? That's the coming world leader. You need to get our four-tape set of interviews with Constance on the financial Armageddon. You need to get the interview that Chris Pinto did. And Chris Pinto is the producer of the Secret Mysteries series of DVDs, which we do carry. If you haven't seen those, you need to. But the DVD he did when he was with us was called The Atlantis Connection. America was to be the new Atlantis. If you study the background of the Great Seal of the United States, the eagle, which we see on the back of the dollar bill, today was actually authorized back in 1787. But, of course, that was really a phoenix. Why? Because the phoenix was to rise from the ashes. just like the new Atlantis will rise from the ashes, and after the old Atlantis was destroyed, the new Atlantis will come, and America will lead the world to the new world order, the new world financial system, the new world religion, and the new world leader. Our number 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. Go there. You can listen to our internet programs and get educated. Listen 9 hours a day. Please pray for America. Pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, hopefully, they're going to be the views of William Federer. And William's an author. I don't know how many books he's written, an awful lot of them. We carry an awful lot of them, whether it be on St. Nichols or certainly on George Washington Carver or America's God and Country. We carry a number of books by William, and Chris, we'll probably be carrying his book on the Quran, what you should know about the Quran. But he's written a wonderful new book, and we've actually interviewed on him. And this is Endangered Speeches. This is sort of a takeoff on Endangered Species, but it's called Endangered Speeches, because, of course, these are the speeches of our great leaders of the past. And, of course, so much of this is simply blocked out by the controlled media. The media is controlled and has been going back to the days of Andrew Jackson. You can go ahead and you can go back and you can read, as I have, Andrew Jackson's speeches that he gave, one to his cabinet in 1833. We talked about the control of the media. We actually have a book written in 1907 that describes that. And these were the speeches given by Andrew Jackson. How he was talking about how in 1833 it was the banks that bought up the control of the media. And ladies and gentlemen, nothing's changed since then. You wonder why we never hear about the Trilateral Commission in the media. You wonder why we never hear about the Great Hunger, where the Chinese communists, our good friends, the Chinese communists, killed 40 million people, probably closer to 44 million between 1958 and 1962. They just starved them to death. Why don't we ever talk about that in America? Why? Because our reality is created. Our minds are molded. Our ideas are shaped largely by people we have never heard of. But they're the invisible forces behind the media to control the reality of the American people. And that's why, Chris, books like the kind that William Federer rights are so important and why we carry many of these books. Now, if we don't carry this book and you want to order this one from William, why, you go right ahead. William, thank you so very much for being with us.
Oh, Dr. Stan, great to be with you.
And it was good to see you back there at the Christian Booksellers this last weekend.
Yes.
So let's go ahead and talk a little bit about, of course, your book. Are we going to talk about the endangered species tonight?
Right, right. And in the book, I have a whole chapter on the ACLU, which I found interesting. It was ACLU was founded by Roger Baldwin. He was a World War One draft dodger, spent a year in jail. And when he got out, he started a 501c3 organization to defend those who were accused of being communists. And you talked about Mao Zedong killing all those millions. Anyway, Roger Baldwin named his organization the ACLU, American Civil Liberties Union. And it's a 501c3. And his friend, Margaret Sanger, started a 501c3, and it was called Planned Parenthood. And many, many groups started 501c3s, and they began to push their agenda. Now, Roger Baldwin was, matter of fact, he taught here in St. Louis, Missouri. He went to Washington University. But one of his famous quotes, he says, "I wanted what the communists wanted." Roger Baldwin gained notoriety.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. All right, William, why don't you go right ahead? And you might want to explain to our listeners what a 501c3 is, but you go ahead with the story.
Sure. There was no income tax in America. The first income tax came about during the Civil War, and it was repealed after the Civil War because the war was over, and we didn't need it. People say, well, how did the government support itself? Well, through two different taxes. One was called excise taxes on specific things like salt, tea, tobacco, and another was called import taxes or tariffs, where you tax things that were brought into the country. There was no federal income tax. Again, there was a temporary one during the Civil War. It was repealed after the war was over. And then they tried to have an income tax in 1894, but the U.S. Supreme Court declared it unconstitutional. Boy, those were the days. The Supreme Court said there's no emergency like a war, and then it goes on to say, any legislation that discriminates based on race, religion, or economic status is class legislation and leads to abuses. So there was no income tax in America until it was Woodrow Wilson in 1913. And he pushed through the 16th Amendment. And the original income tax was a 1% tax on the top 1% richest people in the country. And so it was never going to tax you and me, just those Rockefellers, Carnegies, and J. Paul Gettys. And then it also had a 2% tax on for-profit corporations. And so that's when these different corporations didn't want to get taxed, and they started their Rockefeller Foundations and Carnegie and Ford Foundations. And so originally, the 501c3 was just a category for churches, because churches weren't taxed. And so later is when all the Rockefeller and Ford Foundations jumped into it. But then something happened over in Russia in 1917. There was a Bolshevik revolution, and the communists took over Russia, and the communists eventually took over 45 countries. And the way that they did it, they would send community organizers into the countries to organize the poor, to overthrow the rich, promising to spread the wealth around. And then they would set up a dictatorship: Stalin, Pol Pot, Ho Chi Minh, Castro, Mao Zedong. And it's all based on this philosophy that Karl Marx had, where they would find the haves and the have-nots. In other words, it really didn't matter who the two sides were, whether it was the proletariat versus the bourgeois, the property class versus the unproperty class, or whether it was the blacks against the whites, or the Christians against the Protestants.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. William is simply talking about the onset of the income tax here in the United States, how it was passed back in 1913, but it was only, for the very, very wealthy. It's sort of like what what Barack Obama said. He said, I'm not going to tax the average individual. I'm just going to tax the very wealthy. Of course, he didn't tell you about the cap and trade, which is going to increase your gasoline tax about 77 cents a gallon. It's going to double the cost of your electricity. It's got to be a tax of about $3,000 in every family. But, of course, Barack Obama was only going to tax the very rich. But, of course, he didn't tell you that this was what you say to get into office. Then when you get into office, while you do different things, of course, then they established the income tax here in America, which was only 1% for the very rich, and eventually never would go over 3%. It was only, of course, 2% for the corporations, but that put the camel's nose in the eye of the tent. And then, of course, William's talking about how the communists would go into countries and overtake the countries. They would send in community organizers, and they would turn the poor against the wealthy. And you would mobilize the poor with the idea that, give us the power, give us all the power, and why you'll get the wealth of the wealthy. And unfortunately, they would, of course, then overthrow the existing government. They would have a dictatorship there, and you know what would happen? Why, usually you'd find out that most of the very wealthy were the ones who'd organized this whole thing, and now they had all power, and they could oppress the people even much further. But pick up the story there, William.
Well, Roger Baldwin started his 501c3 basically to help advance the communism. These communist groups were coming in, starting these educational foundations, and so Congress began to limit what 501c3s could do beginning in 1919. And then again in 1939. But a little bit, Roger Baldwin's ACLU gained notoriety by directing the Scopes Monkey Trial. And that is the, it was on July 21st, so tomorrow is the anniversary of the Scopes Monkey Trial. And sort of interesting, they argued that man and ape have a common ancestry, and they produced a tooth at the trial and said this was prima facie evidence. Well, later it came out that the tooth was the tooth of a pig, and so it was just a big fraud. But nevertheless, the person defending creation was William Jennings Bryan, who was a three-time Democrat presidential candidate. So if you can imagine how times have changed, here's a three-time Democrat presidential candidate whose statue is in the U.S. House chamber, William Jennings Bryan, and he was arguing in favor of creation. And of course, now a lot of the Democrat judges are appointed or against creation. But nevertheless, this is Roger Baldwin's ACLU, and Roger Baldwin was friends with Earl Browder, who was the General Secretary of the Communist Party USA from 1930 to 1944. Roger Baldwin twice visited the Soviet Union. And he wrote a book, Liberty Under the Soviets, in 1927. Roger Baldwin embraced Vietnamese communist dictator Ho Chi Minh. And Roger Baldwin said, I joined. I don't regret being a part of the communist tactic. He said, I knew what I was doing. I was not an innocent liberal. I wanted what the communists wanted. Roger Baldwin's friend was Emma Goldman, and she was deported to the Soviet Union in 1919 for her communist activities. She earned the nickname Red Emma. But on Emma Goldman's website, on the exhibit on her life, it has a statement that says that Emma Goldman served as inspiration for Roger Baldwin, future founder of the American Civil Liberties Union. So here we have Roger Baldwin's association with communists. In 1935, Roger Baldwin, head of the ACLU, wrote in his Harvard reunion book, he said, I am for socialism, disarmament, and ultimately for abolishing the state itself. I seek social ownership of property, the abolition of the property class. Well, that goes back to the taxes that you were talking about, abolition of the property class, and sole control of those who produce wealth. Communism is the goal. This is Roger Baldwin, founder of the ACLU, saying communism is the goal. Anyway, when you go and you look at all the rest of the stuff that he did, a co-founder of the ACLU with Roger Baldwin was William Foster. He was the national chairman of the Communist Party USA. William Foster said, wrote in his book Toward Soviet America, 1932, he said the establishment of an American Soviet government will involve confiscation of large landed estates in towns and country, and also whole bodies of forest, mineral deposits, lakes, rivers, and so on. And anybody that keeps up with the property rights issue, the government, through the Environmental Protection Agency, is doing this exact thing. It's confiscating, for all practical purposes, private farms, saying that you can't farm on it, you can't do this or that on it. Anyway, another co-founder of the ACLU was Norman Thomas. He was a six-time presidential candidate for the Soviet Party. Norman Thomas said the American people will never knowingly adopt socialism, but under the name of liberalism, they will adopt every fragment of the socialist program until one day America will be a socialist nation without ever knowing how it happened. And we're seeing that it's happened right before our eyes, and people are waking up, and I don't know if it's too late or not. But anyway, another person was that had a contact with Roger Baldwin was Earl Browder. He was the General Secretary of the Communist Party USA, and he said that the ACLU was simply a transmission belt to achieve the goals of communism for America. So what I did in my book is compare the 45 goals of communism with the ACLU's agenda. The 45 goals of communism was read into the U.S. congressional record in 1963 by Congressman Albert Herlong of Florida. So if you go to the congressional record of the 88th Congress, you can read this. It says the communist goals for America were, one, eliminate prayer or any phase of religious expression in the schools on the grounds that it violates separation of church and state. So here's the communist goal, lines up exactly with the ACLU's goal. Two, eliminate laws governing obscenity, calling them censorship and a violation of free speech. Well, that's exactly what the ACLU defends, pornographers and so forth. Use technical decisions of the court to weaken basic American institutions, claiming their activities violate civil rights, discredit American culture, discredit the family as an institution, encourage promiscuity and divorce, present homosexuality as normal, natural, and healthy. And this is an interesting thing. The first homosexual organization was the Mattachin Society, and it was founded by the U.S. Communist Party. Again, the first homosexual organization in America was founded by the Communist Party in America. The ACLU is in favor of gay marriage. Now, on their website, they talked about it. The Communist Party goals include emphasize the need to raise children away from the negative influence of the parents. So these school boards that don't want to have the parents involved, or the UN rights of the child. Here's another goal of the Communist Party. Infiltrate churches and replace revealed religion with social religion, sort of like Jeremiah Wright. Discredit the Bible and emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need a religious crutch. Well, the ACLU is not in favor of the Bible being used in the public schools, so here we see another lining up of the Communist Party platform and the ACLU's activities. Discredit the Constitution, calling it inadequate, old-fashioned, out of step with modern needs, a hindrance, discredit the Founding Fathers, present them as selfish aristocrats, control schools, use them as transmission belts for socialism and communist propaganda, soften curriculum, get control of teachers' associations, put party line in textbook, control student newspapers, infiltrate the press. That goes back to what you were talking about, the controlled press. And here it's one of the goals of communism, to control the press. Matter of fact, sort of interesting, in America, Nicholas Biddle was the head of the Bank of the United States, which was a private bank. And Nicholas Biddle was so wealthy that he actually controlled and owned many of the major newspapers in America. And Nicholas Biddle paid for the congressional campaigns of many congressmen. And so he had a lot of puppets in Congress. And so, again, the press was controlled. And Andrew Jackson had enough guts to stand up to him and pull the federal funds out of the private bank. And this guy just had a fit over that. And then Andrew Jackson pushed through removing the charter for the bank to put it out of business. And so this guy's newspapers just slammed Andrew Jackson. But Andrew Jackson's wife died right before he took office, so he didn't have anything to live for other than the country. And the 45 Goals of Communism continues as control key positions in radio, TV, motion pictures, break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography. And goes on and on.
Sounds just like what's going on today, doesn't it?
You know, if it wasn't read into the Congressional Record in 1963, I would think somebody's making this up, you know, or this was written just today. But here's another one. It says, support socialist movement to give centralized control over any part of our culture. So centralized control of education, over the social agencies, over the welfare programs, mental health clinics, socialized control over the health care. Wow, we're seeing this take place right before our eyes. So, dominate the psychiatric profession and use mental health laws as a means of gaining coercive control over those who oppose communism. And Alexander Solzhenitsyn talked about that, how people that were not supporting the politically correct communist goals were called mentally unstable, put into insane asylums, and they would experiment with drugs on them. And,
hold that thought, William. Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment, but it's like deja vu all over again. Well, William, pick the story up there.
A couple other goals. Again, 1963, Congressional Record. This is the Goals for Communism. Infiltrate.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
The ACLU is one of the major forces behind that. But, William, why is it so many of our major foundations, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the Carnegie Foundation, have been encouraging the same programs, in fact, in many instances, have funded the communist movement and the American Civil Liberties Union? Why would these tax-exempt foundations, created by our great fortunes, I'll be pushing the identical line to centralize all power in Washington, D.C.? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's a little bit of a trail here. When Woodrow Wilson pushed through the income tax in 1913, it was a 1% tax on the top 1% richest people. This started a movement by the wealthy to avoid the taxes. And so they moved them into these tax-free foundations. Franklin Roosevelt raised taxes exorbitantly higher, and that is when these wealthy, in addition to moving money out of productive factories and into nonprofits, as a result of FDR's taxes, they began to outsource. And so it's like a sponge. You squeeze the sponge and the water goes out. And you raise taxes on the wealthy. What do the wealthy do? They take their money someplace else. And so that started the whole outsourcing. We had the Marshall Plan where we rebuilt Germany and Japan. And so that's when these wealthy Americans turned into globalists. And their loyalty went to where the dollar was. And at that point, they had no problems dealing with communist countries, dealing with all these other countries. And so it's sort of like the Democrat Party created a problem with the taxes, and now we're reaping the whirlwind. But the loyalty is to the dollar, and we've seen it. Now people say, why would the ACLU, why would these groups want to destroy the fiber of America? Well, it goes all the way back to the father of Alexander the Great. We're talking 4 centuries before Christ. His name was Philip of Macedon, and he was a general there in Greece, and the typical warfare was you would have two columns and two flanks, and they would fight, and so there was a fifth column that Philip of Macedon invented. He would bribe and pay influential people in Athens to get up in their Acropolis, their assembly, and say, Philip's not capturing these cities, he's liberating them. And they would gather around themselves useful idiots, people that believed this lie, this nonsense. But it so confused the people of Athens that they were not able to organize a resistance. And when Philip marched up to the walls, there was such confusion that the doors got opened, he came in and took over. Anyway, that gave birth to this thing called the Fifth Column. Hitler used it. You know, we even used it. We dropped pamphlets down because if we could demoralize the people from supporting their dictator, well, then we could win the war just as easy. You shoot bullets at them or you can demoralize them. And, the Japanese did that with Tokyo Rose, broadcast it on radio, and the communists took it to another level and would have movies in Hollywood like Tom, Hang Down Your Head, Tom Dooley, and not, you know, at the same time, Tom Dooley was a doctor from St. Louis University who was ministering to the Laos and Cambodian people, helping them to keep their will and to not surrender. So they made a movie to make fun of him. And so there was an influence. It's interesting, when the Berlin Wall went down, several communist archivists and so forth defected to the West. One of them was Vitaly Matrotkin, and he brought 25,000 pages of KGB archives, and lo and behold, there were spies in Hollywood. There were communists infiltrating different areas of American government. Anyway, so the idea is that if you can break the will of your enemy off the battlefield, it's just as effective as defeating your enemy on the battlefield. And so that's why they wanted to demoralize us and promote all these things that were, you know, against our traditional values.
And, of course, what's important is that under our form of government, the power of the central government is limited so men can be free. The communist goal and that of the people of great wealth who finance communism has always been to centralize all power in Washington, D.C., so the people could be controlled. This is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest, of course, is William Petter. And, of course, one of the big questions is, why are so many people of great wealth backing socialism and communism? Why did so many people of great wealth, like the George Soros's of this world, back Barack Obama? After all, he's in favor of redistributing the wealth and taxing the wealthy. So why did the wealthy back Barack Obama, and why do they embrace these socialist ideas? And that's, I think, something that really confuses a lot of people, don't you think, William?
It does, and when you there's two different forms of capitalism. One is the small business, the medium-sized business, and even, you know, an American business. And then you have the globalist capitalist. And when you get way up to the top, the globalist capitalist is likes monopolies. And what's the greatest monopoly other than a national, a global monopoly? And so they make deals with these governments to make smaller businesses go out of business, and so they can have a monopoly. We've seen this happen in the EU, European Union, where many of these enormous companies would be in favor of telephone book thick regulations, and what it would do would effectively put the small and medium-sized businesses out of business, because they couldn't afford just the bureaucratic regulatory compliance issues. And so what happens is the small group of these large companies get more or less united with the government. I think that's called fascism, but nevertheless, if you have a business and you make something and you sell it to different groups, fine. But if you can get a government contract, wow, that's like the icing on the cake. That's like the you know, cash cow. That's like, you know, consistent money. And then if you have a government that's willing to just go in debt and continue to buy yourself, well, that's fine with you.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with William. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's William Petter. And before we go on, William, our telephone number, of course, for our callers out there, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. But before we go on, I want you to tell people how they can get your website and how they can get copies of your latest book on the endangered speeches. Go ahead.
My website is AmericanMinute.com. That's AmericanMinute.com. I send out a free daily email called the American Minute, and anybody can sign up for it. And then also a toll-free telephone number is 888-USA-WORD. That's 888-USA-WORD. And the latest book is Endangered Speeches, How the ACLU, IRS, and LBJ Threaten Extinction of Free Speech.
And, of course, there is a conscious effort to intimidate people, to try to get them from telling the truth. If you do tell the truth today, you will be vilified and attacked by the mass media. And if you are a scoundrel, why, you'll be built up by them, why, you'll be eulogized by the mass media. And people have to understand that you're not going to get the truth from regular channels. This is why we need alternative radio. And this, of course, is one reason why the people in power fear that the people are going to learn the truth, and why I fear that there will be an effort to bring back the fairness doctrine, or under one auspices or concept or another, to limit the Internet, because the Internet is helping to get the truth out. Certainly people buying time on radio, as I do, the shortwave, satellite, getting the truth out. And the one thing they fear is that the American people are going to learn the truth about who really is running things behind the scenes and who has funded communism since its inception in Russia back in 1917. In fact, who it was who financed certainly Karl Marx when he wrote the Communist Manifesto, which was published in 1848. But who financed Karl Marx? I wonder how many people who have ever studied at the university like I did ever heard of the League of the Just. Who was the League of the Just who financed Karl Marx? You can go back to the 1917 British Encyclopedia Britannica, and they will tell you about the League of the Just, but you won't find it in most modern books. They do not want you to understand that Karl Marx was simply, and his ideas were simply a confusion, a deception, so that people wouldn't understand that many of the people who are pushing capitalism were also pushing communism as well. Well, William, where do we go from here? What else do you want to get our listeners to understand this evening?
Well, it's interesting what some of the former presidents said about communism. And again, with us moving in that direction at a very rapid pace, it's sort of a stark contrast. Here is Harry S. Truman, 1949, inaugural address. Said, we believe all men are created equal because they are created in the image of God. Communism is based on the belief that man is so weak and inadequate that he is unable to govern himself, and therefore requires strong masters. And Harry S. Truman goes on to say, democracy is based on the conviction that man has a moral and intellectual capacity, as well as an innate right to govern himself with reason and justice. Communism subjects the individual to arrest without lawful cause, punishment without a trial, and forced labor as chattel of the state. It decrees what information he shall receive. It sort of talks about that, the control of the media and control of the Internet. It decrees what information he shall receive, what art he shall produce, what leaders he shall follow, and what thoughts he shall think. Wow, that sounds like this hate crime legislation that judges people based on their thoughts. If you believe that a marriage is a man and a woman, I thought it was interesting, Sotomayor, this lady that's being considered as a Supreme Court justice, she refused to recognize the precedent of marriage being a man and a woman, yet she insisted on recognizing the precedent of Roe v. Wade and abortion. It's like, okay, let me get this straight. For, you know, as long as man's been on this earth, marriage has been a man and a woman. And here she's not going to recognize that precedent, but here since 1962, or 1973 rather, with Roe v. Wade, she's going to recognize that precedent. And it's like, you know, explain this to me. You know, that's the situation that we're at right now.
Well, let's go to Don, who's calling in from Albany, New York. Hi, Don. Do you have a question for our guest?
Good evening, Dr. Stan. It's John, actually. I've called before.
Okay, fine. Well, we'll have to get after our producer. It's John from Albany, New York. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much for having this guest on, because I have heard many of these things before, but by golly, like many people, I'm so busy earning a living that I keep forgetting about the parallels with what's happening in our culture and how it came about, and even as far back as, of all things, Philip of Macedon. But I was wondering if you or your guest was aware of that poor, unfortunate soldier who is now in the hands of the so-called Taliban. Our newspaper today or yesterday described his way he is responding to their questions and treatment, and he seems to not to be committed to the fight, so to speak. Whether or not the fight is correct is a separate issue, in my opinion, but I was wondering if your guest or you could speak to that.
All right, Reverend William, would you have any thoughts about this soldier who's been taken prisoner, who actually did this propaganda film for his captors? And the tragic situation, the young man taken, you know, he's captured. He doesn't know whether they're going to kill him or not, whether they're going to torture him. He is a prisoner. And after all, since we torture prisoners, why could we object if he was tortured? But he's simply a victim. He's a pawn in this terrible game that's being played out there where we are fighting in a country. Oh, and our justification was, well, we had to get Osama bin Laden because he attacked the World Trade Center. But, of course, if you ever read any of the writings of the people who were there, they weren't allowed to get Osama bin Laden. So why, you know, why did we go in if we wouldn't allow our special forces units the ability to do what they were supposed to? And, well, we have an article out of the New York Times, of the Washington Times, where basically a high government official, I think it was on the 11th of October, or the 5th of October, said, well, our policy is not to get Osama bin Laden. Our policy is not Osama bin Laden first, it's Osama bin Laden last. If we were to catch Osama bin Laden, how could we justify the war? Well, if this is 2001, October 5th, 2001, we were looking for a justification for the war. We've been fighting now for 9 years. I mean, what about this young man over there? How do you feel about him, William? I mean, is he a victim of some machinations in Washington, D.C., who wanted a massive war and to bleed our country dry? We're putting over $160 billion a year into a war that I don't think we're ever going to win, because the people never asked us to come in to be freed. They didn't want to be freed. We were the ones who financed and created the Taliban. We actually put out $51 million for the textbooks that trained these young men in this radical form of Islam, and many of those students that were taught in the schools that we financed that pushed this radical form of Islamic belief became the Taliban. And after creating this movement, now we're killing the members, and yet this young man is just he's a victim of this whole thing.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up, because just this last week there was a big training of Muslims in Chicago to do jihad in America and to make America an Islamic country. And we haven't seen that on the mainstream news. I don't know probably as much as you do. You probably know more than I do. But one of the things I've seen in history is Machiavelli. 500 years ago, Machiavelli lived in Italy. And yep. Italy was not Italy. Italy was a bunch of little kingdoms. Siena, Venice, Genoa, Perugia, Assisi. And they all had their little armies, and they're all always fighting each other. And, you know, St. Francis of Assisi, I went to school in Rome, and we traveled up there. And St. Francis, before he became the saint, he was a little soldier in his little army there in Assisi, and he was captured and spent a year in jail in Perugia in their dungeons. And so Machiavelli said if one prince could control all of Italy, it would stop all the infighting between all these little kingdoms. And so he wrote a book called The Prince, and in it he advocated the ends justifies the means. He was thinking of Lorenzo de' Medici, the wealthy benefactor there in Florence, but this was a philosophy that if a prince wanted to conquer a city in his quest to consolidate Italy, and the people did not want to be conquered in that city, well, if he goes in there, the people will hate him. But if the prince paid somebody to create terror, burn barns, kill cows, create all kinds of crises, the people will cry out for help. The prince will march into the city and help them out and kill the guy that he bribed so nobody will know the difference. And it's really just good marketing. You create the need and fill it. You know, you go on the back of the house and set it on fire, then you go on the front of the house and sell them a fire extinguisher. And it's okay to do that killing because of this idea that the end justifies the means. It's a moral, you know, relativism there. Well, you multiply that by 500 years, and here we are today. And I actually have a Funk and Wagnalls encyclopedia from years back, and it says, Machiavellianism is the graduated use of crisis and terror to consolidate power. And so you contrast the consolidating power philosophers with the separating power. And our American founders were bathed in these philosophers like Montesquieu and so forth who wanted to take the concentrated powers of a monarch and separate them into three branches, separate them from the federal to the state level, tie them up with 10 handcuffs we call the first 10 amendments. In other words, our founders designed a system of government to work inefficiently on purpose. It was slow to making good decisions, but thank God it was slow to making bad decisions. In other words, change was bad. They saw how a king could, on a whim, you know, kill people who, you know, before they thought they were safe. And so our founders designed this system of government that would change slowly. The problem is today we want to get our coffee now, we want to get on the internet now, and we want our world problem solved now, and the most efficient form of government is a monarchy. One person says it, it happens, or heads roll. And so we've got this natural push to want things done right away, and so you have to relinquish power to the government to get it done. The problem is the government collects the cards, the marbles. Over the years, they keep getting more and more and more powerful, a little bit here, a little bit there. I mean, people forget withholding from your paycheck was an emergency effort to get money to fight Hitler. And once Hitler was defeated, there's still control withholding money from our paycheck. And so once the government gets the power or control, they'll never give it back. And so we see these two philosophers. One was in favor of separated power, and the other's in favor of concentrated power. Well, we see that the ones that want to concentrate power are using crises, and whether they planned the crises or whether they've capitalized on the crises, they use them to consolidate power. So whether it was Katrina or swine flu or avian flu or AIDS epidemic or, you know, debt problems or, you know, a stimulus package, I mean, crime crisis, it's like, you know, every time you see some killings and they play all the killings on television, sure enough, immediately after that there's some bill to outlaw guns. Like, sounds like almost a coordinated effort. You know, it's like, they have some big crisis, and then there's an immediate bill to come along and solve it. It's like, you know, who's got time to write a 1,000-page bill? They just happen to have that sitting around, you know. So crisis. That's why Rahm Emanuel, who's the current president's chief of staff, he said, never let a good crisis go to waste. So here we have somebody that understands that crises are opportunities to push an agenda. Well, it's just a small step to say, well, maybe crises are, they want there to be a crisis so they can push their agenda. And that's one of the things that concerns a lot of people, including myself.
Well, I really think that in answer to your question, John, this poor young man is, I think he's a victim of an unfortunate situation. I just hope and pray that he gets out alive. But so many of our young men have gone over there. What are we fighting for? I mean, suddenly, is this going to protect America? I mean, when we allow them to have meetings here in this country, the Muslims to have meetings on jihad, when we actually allow their imams to go into our prisons and recruit people into this radical form of jihad, when we finance and fund these radical movements throughout the world, and we carry a book called The Devil's Game that goes into how the CIA has been funding this radical form of Islam since its inception, this Machiavellian approach to create an enemy, and now, of course, we can have a solution, ever more power to the government. I feel so sorry for this young man. They'll break his spirit, they'll break his will, and it's a tragic situation for him. We should all pray for his safe return. I just don't know what's going to happen.
I do know.
Yes, thank you very much.
All right, fine. Go right ahead, William.
Well, I wrote a book called What Every American Needs to Know About the Quran, A History of Islam in the United States. And in the early 1800s, late 1700s, the Muslims, remember President Obama said that Morocco was the first country to recognize our country when he gave this speech in Cairo. Well, what he was referring to is that all the countries of Europe were paying annual tributes to these Muslim pirates to leave their country's ships alone. Britain paid a tribute, France paid a tribute, Holland and so forth. Well, when America broke away from Britain, as President Obama said, Morocco recognized us as a new country and said, we demand you pay your own tribute. And so they were capturing our American ships and imprisoning our sailors. And that's when the USS Philadelphia, a brand new 36-gun ship captained by William Bainbridge, was going along the coast of Africa, and it ran aground on a shallow area. And so Captain Bainbridge and 307 soldiers were taken prisoner, and they were treated harshly. And the Dey, D-E-Y, the leader there, said that if they would convert to Islam, they would be treated nice. So five of them converted. And then the imam said, well, you can stay here or go back to America. And when they said they wanted to go back to America and leave the Islamic faith, all of a sudden the Dey got all upset, and the guards came in and grabbed them and carried them off. And, of course, that's where Muhammad said, whoever changes his Islamic religion, kill him. And those five were never seen again. The rest of the soldiers were later ransomed back.
Well, you better to stand on principle and do what's right than, of course, compromise your principles. And I think that's tragic. But unfortunately, sometimes people do compromise what's right. We'll be back in a moment. Well, William, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a 1-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Really convinced me that we were missing something. I read some 45 years ago. It was called Foundations, Their Power and Influence. Everything has been done to suppress that book. Well, we eventually took $10,000, got the rights to republish it, and we actually have kept it in print for the last 20 years or so, 15 years anyway. And, of course, we have the only supply of them. Foundations, Their Power and Influence. It goes into really the report of the people in the Reese Committee commissioned by Congress to study the great tax-exempt foundations in 1953 and 1954, and the book was written in 58 by the counsel for the Reese Committee that found out that the great tax-exempt foundations, Rockefeller, Carnegie, Ford, the others, were financing communism. Why would they do that? Well, what I didn't understand at the time that there were powerful spiritual forces that energized the Rockefellers, the Carnegies, and the Ford. Ford was deeply involved in theosophy and spiritualism, as was Andrew Carnegie, as were members of the Rockefeller family, and behind everything are these spiritual forces. If you don't understand how communism came about in Russia, you need to get a book. We keep it available. It's called Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, How American Corporations Financed the Bolsheviks After They Were in Power. In fact, they were instrumental in bringing them to power, and that's covered in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and all of these books are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. Nothing is it appears to be. Now, that's, of course, Foundations, Their Power and Influence, Brotherhood of Darkness, and Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution. It was American banks and corporations and financiers and people from the Federal Reserve Board that financed Lenin. And, of course, you go back to the original Russian Revolution, the March Revolution, financed by Milner, who was very, very close to J.P. Morgan. And J.P. Morgan, of course, was deeply involved in astrology and the occult. And, of course, Milner himself was involved in the occult. He was a Mason, and, of course, the organization they put together was founded in the occult. Because behind everything is this effort to bring about this world government. That has been the goal of the ancient secret societies and the mystery religions, and remains their goal today. And believe me, there are secret societies. You need to see, if you doubt that they get together with their capes and their candles and their chants and their human or feigned human sacrifices, you need to see Alex Jones' a DVD on the Bohemian Grove. It looks very much like that. A movie, Eyes Wide Shut, by Stanley Kubrick, starring one of our leaders, leading actors. And certainly, but Eyes Wide Shut, you need to, you probably haven't seen it in a long while. Before that movie was ever released, why the producer died under mysterious circumstances. But the ceremonies he described look just like the ones that take place at the Bohemian Grove, where there's all sorts of sexual excesses. You need to get our 4-tape set on the Bohemian Grove. And we have there an interview with a woman who was sent there to be sexually exploited by some of the leading people in our nation. You need to read her book on the transformation of America. That's Kathy O'Brien's book on the transformation of America. You'll learn a lot about Dick Cheney. If you don't like Dick Cheney now, or you really won't like him after you read Kathy O'Brien's book, they're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. What motivates these people? They've given their souls over to the dark side. Once you begin to understand that, this all makes sense. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. Please pray for Radio Liberty.